Tonight I'm going to be speaking about hearing the voice of God. And this is another one of those, you guys doing what you were created to do. You were created to commune with God. And commune with God means having a conversation back and forth. And I don't mean like you just talking to God and, you know, then you open your Bible and you read a verse. Like, there's obviously validity in that because the Bible is the Word of God. But I'm also speaking about the Word of God in your heart, in our minds. The Word of God now. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
For those of you that don't, I know we've had quite a bit of turnover this year. You can actually research John 10. Jesus actually says in that chapter that he is our shepherd, we are his sheep, and we can hear his voice. And we won't follow anyone else's voice because we know the voice of Jesus, because he's our shepherd. And first of all, I want to speak that and declare that over you. If you have never actually known that, I declare over you that you are Jesus' sheep, and as his sheep, he's your shepherd, and he speaks to you, and you can hear his voice. I grew up Baptist, and some of you know the story, but I was never taught that you could hear the voice of God, and it was very frustrating for me having a relationship, or trying to have a relationship with God, and like facing struggles in my life, like as a teenager, my parents arguing all the time, and sitting on my bed and being like, God, like, how am I supposed to get through this? Like, say something. And I had no concept for the fact that God was actually speaking to me. Like, I had no grid for that because I've been taught that God spoke all this. And then, not quite this much because this has a lot of commentary in it, but... But he spoke all this, and then he stopped, and he thought, you know, well, that's enough. That'll get them through the next thousands of years. And so I had no grid for the fact that you could hear God's voice, and because of that, I attribute that as the fault line in my relationship with God that actually led me away from God, because how can you have a relationship with a rock? How many of you have pet rocks? When you were little, come on. Fine, don't confess. That's fine. The Lord knows. It is difficult to have a relationship with something that cannot talk back to you, because part of relationship means talking. I know this is like groundbreakingly simple, but sometimes we just need to hear it. Like, part of relationship is speaking. If Jordan and I never spoke to each other, our marriage would fall apart very quickly. We probably never would have gotten married. Like, can you imagine us starting a relationship if I thought, oh, Jordan can't. Doesn't want to talk to me. Like, he wrote everything he needs to say to me in a book. So I got this manual that page one said, will you be my girlfriend? If yes, turn to page two. Hi, my name is Jordan. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it makes no sense. And God is a God of clarity. And really, the things that we see in our environment and in our world, they are a natural representation of the relationship God has with us. And Jesus himself compares our relationship with God as one of marriage. By the way, today's our 1 year anniversary, then when you ask me to be my girlfriend. And I said, seriously, have you thought about this? And then I had about like 10,000 questions that I needed him to answer before I said yes. From Jordan. Anyways, he persevered. So, warm you in the back. God desires relationship with us, and part of that is speaking. And so that's as far as the basics I'm going to give you tonight. I want to encourage you that if you are new to our church, if you're new to Catch the Fire, and you have never been taught that God actually speaks, and you don't know that and don't know how to even begin to hear him speak, we have tons of resources for you to do that. School of Champions is one. We go over that. We have courses at our airport campus, which you can get there by TTC. And actually, I think, do we have it this weekend or next weekend?
It was
this past weekend. You missed it. So, we have a course about four times a year called Hearing God's Voice. And it's basically a weekend where they literally teach you. Like, if you've never heard God's voice, you don't know how to start. We'll tell you how to start. We'll give you room to practice. We'll make it a safe place where you can bounce off ideas and be like, am I really hearing? This is what I heard. It's a really, really good course. And if you have never heard the voice of God, I really want to encourage you, kind of like listen to the announcements here and check out our websites to see when the dates are coming up again and do it. Cool?
Yeah, cool.
But we're going to move on. So we've established God speaks. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that we have communion with you. Father, right now I'm asking for every ear, every eye in this place to be open. Father, I bind up spiritual deafness. I bind up spiritual deafness, Father, that's come down through the generations. Daddy, I say spiritual clarity reign in this place. Father, confusion goes in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Father, I ask for a stillness of mind, Daddy, to be able to hear what you are saying. A peace of heart to be able to discern what you are speaking to us. Ha. All right, turn to Exodus 16. It's near the beginning. Okay. You all probably have one iPhone, so I'm assuming you're there. Now, just to give you a bit of background, this is the story of God rescuing his people group, the Israelites, from captivity in Egypt. In Exodus, the book of Exodus literally means mass exit. We are massively exiting. God has just basically like rescued them from Egypt's grip. He's like part of the sea so they could walk through. The army came behind them, the seas went back. The army all died. So now they've been in the journey from Egypt to where they're going, the promised land, for 2 months. They're starting to get hungry, okay? Their supplies are running out. So they go to their leader, Moses and Aaron, and they start to complain about the fact that they have no food. And they actually have the guts to say, that's not the word that was in my mouth. They actually have the guts to say to God and Moses, I wish we were still in captivity. At least we had food there. So, this is what the Lord says to Moses and Aaron. He says, announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of God, of the Lord, in cloud. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israelites' complaint. Now tell them. Oh, sorry, I'm starting in verse 11. Of Exodus 16. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. Excuse me. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was, of course. And Moses told them, it is the food that the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little, but when they measured it out, everybody had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Then Moses said to them, this part is really important. That's not what he said. Do not keep any of it until morning. Do not keep any of it until morning. But some of them did not listen. Say, did not listen. And they kept some of it until morning. But by then, it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. After this, the people gathered food in the morning by morning, and each family according to its need. And the sun became hot, and the flakes they had picked up. As the sun became hot, the flakes they had not picked up had melted and disappeared. On the 6th day, they had gathered twice as much as usual, 4 quarts for each person instead of 2. Then all the leaders of the community came and asked Moses for an explanation. He told them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set it aside for what is left tomorrow. So they put some aside till the morning, just as Moses had commanded. And in the morning, the leftover food was as wholesome and good, without maggots or odor. So Moses said, "Eat this food for today is the Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no more food on the ground today. You may gather food for 6 days, but on the 17th Sabbath, there will be no food on the ground that day." Some of the people went out anyways on the seventh day. Why? Because they did not listen. And they found no food. And then the Lord asked Moses, "How long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions?" Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Oh, let me catch my breath. What is happening here? Shout it out. What's happening here? Okay, disobedience, yeah. What else?
Lack of trust.
Lack of trust. Okay, but like, bring it down. Don't give me the spiritual answers. Like, what's happening here?
Food is appearing on the ground.
Food is appearing on the ground! Ding, ding, ding! High five. What else is happening?
Birds in the air.
The birds in the air, yes, because they also wanted meat. What else?
Gathering.
They're gathering it to feed themselves. What else?
Very people complain a lot.
It's enough. I don't know what you said. Some people complain. It's enough?
Yeah.
What else is happening here?
Double portion on Saturday.
Double portion on Saturday. Excellent. Okay, here's the thing. Why do you think that the Lord, rather than just feed them once, like, here you go, here's your week's worth, why was it important? I'm not going to ask you to shout out smart answers. I'm sure you have plenty. But I want you to actually meditate on this for a second. What does it say about God's character that he chose to give them what they needed day by day and not allow them to store up in preparation for a day ahead? I want you to just think about it. Don't shout answers at me. I'm going to tell you what I think, of course. See, when God brought me to this passage, I really felt like there is a desire of the Lord to have a relationship where we are dependent on him and able to trust him. It would have been so easy for the Israelites to just gather up what they need, store it up until they run out, and then God does more. So maybe like once every 15 days, manna appears, right? And yet there was something in his character, and something more importantly, what he knew about the Israelites' character, people's character, human character, where he knew it was most beneficial for them to have to rely on them day by day. Okay? Keep that thought in your head. Later on, Moses says to the Israelites, and they're about to enter the promised land, and this is Deuteronomy 8. He says, he brings them back to that time. He reminds them, he says, "Remember how the Lord of God, your God, led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character, to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." God spoke to me about this passage in sort of a metaphorical way, and he said to me, "Noelle, I want you to picture my words to you as manna. So your time where you actually listen to me and you give me a place to speak and you hear me and hopefully write it down so you remember it, I want you to think of that as manna." He said, "You need fresh manna every day. I do not want you trying to live off the manna you got last week, okay? You need fresh manna every day. You cannot live by bread alone, aka, you cannot live by what this world has to offer. The natural things of taste and sound and see and all that stuff, the food, the water, the things that we need, they're not enough. The things that we're taught we need, right? They're not enough. We actually can't live by those things alone. We live by the very word of God. We live by that very communion that comes from having those conversations with God. Take a look around your workplace, your school, your family, those people that are not living off that word of God. Think about the emotional, the circumstances, the their thought life and all the death that there seems to be in there. They're surviving. They're not living. Do you know the difference?
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
They're surviving and there's living. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life in abundance. What was he saying? As my children, you don't need to survive. You actually get to live.
That's right?
Right?
Yeah.
He said to me, you need fresh manna every day. And he started challenging me. This was about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. He started challenging me to start coming to him every day and giving him time to speak to me. Rather than what I was doing back then was I would go until like I hit a wall or a really big need, or I was in like a really good worship service where there was like the space for it, and God would say something really cool and I'd be like, oh my God, you're so amazing, I love you, I'm gonna write that down and remember it. And you know, I would write it down and often I would never go back to it again. And then I wouldn't actually seek God again until I like either hit another wall of need or another down day or I got to another really good worship service. And then like God had room to speak because I was actually focused on him for long enough to hear him. Do you know what I mean? That's how I've been living. And God, you know, in this story, we have this beautiful picture of God's heart for us, which is a daily dependence on him. And often when my girls come to me and have this, you know, this big thing, big dilemma or a big thing of, well, what about this? Or I'm feeling this. And one of my first questions is always like, have you spoken to God about it? Because I do not want to become the thing in their life that's the mediator to God. I do not want to become like the deliverer of the manna. It's not my job. I do not have enough hours in the day to listen to God for everybody, right? Not only that, but that's not what God wants. God allowed the people to go out and collect what they needed for themselves. There was a desire in the Lord to fulfill not only their physical needs, but their spiritual needs. And that same God is here today. And he still desires to meet not only your physical needs, but your spiritual needs as well. And you cannot live by bread alone. You can't live off your money and your food and your water. That is not enough. It may feel like enough because, like, at least your rent check's getting paid. But spiritually speaking, you are dying if you are not collecting fresh manna. And too many people live from, like, whatever period of time they think they can go till they crash. And then they remember, oh, yeah. I need to find out what God thinks about this, or, oh yeah, I really need God to speak. And then they give him that space, and what happens? It becomes a cycle of survival. I hear it, I'm good. I'm starting not to be good, but I'm still not coming back to God to ask him. I'm now surviving until I can no longer survive. Finally, God breaks in and speaks, and I do it again. Now, this cycle is not because God waits until that critical moment to say something. God has, it says in Psalms, his thoughts about you are as numerous as the sands. Ever been to a beach?
Yes.
You get the picture. So it's not that God is saying that God is holding out on speaking to you. It is that we need to give him the room for him to move and speak. Yes?
Yeah.
All right, turn to John 6. John 6, verse 47. This is Jesus speaking. And Jesus says, you there? John 6, 47? Start bringing your mouth to truth. Verse 47, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. This is Jesus speaking. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread which I offer so the world may live, is my flesh. I'm going to keep reading because I want to make a point about it. But that's kind of like, you know, Jesus is saying, like, I'm it. Then the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this mean? How can this man give us his flesh to eat? It's kind of sounding like cannibalism. So Jesus said it again, and now it's really sounding like cannibalism. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise that person on that last day, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink, etc., etc., etc. After this little speech, about 72 or so of his disciples left. He ended up with 12. Because they, what? I'm sorry, I thought you were saying something. Because they actually said to him, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept this? Okay, you can imagine, like if anyone were to walk in here and say to you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't be saved. We'd be like, you're crazy, this is a cult, right? Like, this isn't, I mean, this isn't any less weird to the Israelites than it would be to us. Like, it's not like they had some, like, safety net of, I'm way more tolerant of weirdness. Like, there was, for them, this was just as weird to hear. And many people left because of this teaching, because they did not know Jesus' heart and didn't have that intimacy with him to know what he meant. He's not talking about cannibalism, for those who don't know and are still wondering. He's talking about many things. But essentially what he's saying in this speech 101 is, unless you accept what I do for you on the cross, right? So he died, his flesh was pierced, his blood ran out for our sins and our transgression. Unless you take that into your life, you cannot be saved. Unless you have communion with me and you actually appropriate that for yourself, there is no salvation. Yes? That makes sense? Not cannibalism? Okay. There is, side note, an incredible safety net in your life when you are obtaining fresh manna from God. An incredible safety net. Because the Bible says that in the last days, there will be many people that come and perform amazing signs and wonders, but they will be false teachers. I'm not going to lie to you. If someone were to walk in today and say to me, oh, by the way, this part of the Bible really means that you need to start practicing cannibalism, that I would be like, yeah, that's not God. But what is the safety net for somebody to come in and say something to me like, Noelle, you know, the Bible talks about drinking the being bitten by poisonous snakes and not dying, and the something with scorpions. So basically, like, what that means is, like, in church, you need to start bringing snakes in and letting them bite you, and you will know, and there are churches that do this, you will know, yes, and you will know that you have Holy Spirit inside of you if you don't die. I know. Jimmy thinks it's funny. But guys, listen. That verse is in the Bible. Those of you who have Jesus will tread upon poisonous snakes and be bitten and not be, whatever the word is, not die, basically. I'm paraphrasing. So, where's the safety net for you guys to know that whoever has the mic up here at Central is speaking the truth to you? Because we could say that and back it up with the Bible. Any of you could get up here that we say, oh yes, we want you to speak this Sunday, and say many things and use many one-liners to support what you're saying. Where's your safety net? Because if you do not have the intimacy with God, where you are daily communing with him, allowing you to get to know him and have intimacy deeper and deeper and deeper, how will you know what is truth and what is not? If you think that you're that our cycles of survival, and I'm not condemning you because I lived in that for a very long time and sometimes I still fall back into it. If you think that that cycle is enough, gives you enough intimacy with God to have a safety net against false teachers, you're wrong. And we are approaching the time, and have already approached the time, where there are many different truths coming out of the Bible. How do you know? How do you know what is truth? If the person comes at you with something and they pull something out of here and you have no way of talking to God for yourself and saying, God, I feel funny about this. Like, could this be you? You talk to me about this verse. You show me the verses that go alongside of this. How will you know? You have to be able to hear God for yourselves. Amen. I kind of went on a tangent. It's a good tangent.
Yeah.
Excellent. See, the word of the Lord is powerful in our lives, and sometimes, because we have, those of us who have been taught about this, we have often heard it emphasized, you know, God comes as a still small whisper. That's definitely true. But we have kind of allowed that still small whisper, allowed the form to kind of shape our understanding of the power behind it. Because I've heard people say to me things like, well, God said this, but, I'm like, no, it's God said this, period. Right? There is an incredible power in your life when you hear the voice of God. And let me just, Psalm 29. I love this psalm. Meditate on this. Like, just, yeah, meditate on it. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The glory of God thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. Pause. The cedars of Lebanon were like giant trees. Some of them would grow as high as like 120 feet. They were well known for being like mighty trees. There is a power in the voice of God that in speaking to one of those trees would split it in half. Done. In the voice of God. Whether he said it audibly or whether he spoke to the tree's inner being, it would split that tree's inner being. The form does not determine the power. You might only hear God when it's just you and you're alone sitting on your bed, and you might only hear one word at a time. That is fine. That is valid. That is powerful. You might hear God audibly, and then there's, you know, then you know it's powerful, but it kind of scares you.
Yeah.
And it should. You might only hear God in your dreams at night. I'm a big dreamer.
Yeah.
Like, God does stuff in my dream that I cannot, like, I would never be able to verbally explain. And I've gotten to the point where I understand that that's how he works in my life. And so often, when I'm facing a cedar of Lebanon in my life, a huge stronghold, a thing, a wall that I can't seem to get past, I know God's voice can break that. So I'll say, God, give me a dream, because I'm so emotionally anxious over this that I can't hear your voice because I'm blocking it with my own emotions. And so I'll say to him, give me a dream that will break this. Give me a dream that will bring healing to that area. Give me a dream that will give me the strategy, because I don't know what to do. And he will. But I've had to get there with putting faith in the little things. Putting faith in the times where I had no clue what any of my dreams meant, and I was writing them all down in faith, and still some of them I never found out what they meant. Right? You grow. So if you only hear one word at a time, it is powerful. I want you guys to close your eyes. I want you to think about a situation in your life right now that is like one of those huge trees that feels like it's insurmountable, unbreakable, just the biggest pain ever. Maybe it's your finances, maybe it's you're failing school, maybe it's you can't get a job. Everyone's eyes closed. When you have that situation in your mind, just put up your hand so that I know where we're all at. You have a situation in your mind, maybe it's a relationship with somebody, with your family, it's really bugging you. All right, hands down, keep your eyes closed. I want you to ask God for one word. And I want you to grab that first word that comes to your mind. Okay, eyes closed still. If you've got one word, put up your hand. So I know where we're at. Okay, good. It's a fair number of you. Okay, keep your eyes. No, actually, okay, you can open your eyes and put your hands down. I want you to take a moment right now. I want you to write the word in your cell phone or in your iPad or in your, if you're old school like me, journal. Just take a moment. Don't need to chat about it. Just write it down. Send a text message to yourself. It's free. I know you're all good plans. Mostly it's free. And I want you guys to do something this week with that word. I want you to take that word to God, and I want you to ask him to expand it. So for some of you, this is going to look like this. God, give me another word to go with this word. And it might feel painstakingly slow, but there's power in those words, right? So you might have heard the word, I kept getting the word power. You might have heard the word power. Maybe because I was saying it so much, but I primed the pump. And then you're going to ask God, let's say you're like elementary this, you're going to go home, you're going to ask God for a second word. And he might say love. You'd be like, okay. God might be saying to me that his love is powerful. It's powerful enough for this. Some of you will go home and you can just write out, ask God, okay, God, expand on this. And you can just start writing and you will get pages of what God is saying about that word and about that situation. Some of you are more visual and you'll need to go home and say, God, show me a picture that goes with this word. And close your eyes. Let God fill your imagination. He gave you your imagination. It's sanctified for God. Let him fill your imagination with a picture. For some of you, it'll be like a movie. For some of you, it'll be like just like a flash. Okay? And then take that picture and you can talk to God about it. And he might make it really obvious, right? Maybe he'll be like, he'll give you a picture of like, let's say you're like, your big issue was like money. Maybe he'll give you a picture of like your check splitting in two. Right? And that'll be God saying something like, not something you need to worry about, I've already taken care of it. You don't even need to hand in a red check in the spirit. Some of you, if you want, go home and ask God for a dream about that word. I know it takes like a little more faith because you're like, oh, what if I wake up and I didn't have any? Just ask him. And ask him every night until you get it and you remember it. Cool? How many of you here I don't know if you'll be willing to admit this. I'll ask it anyways. Because I want to do something to bless you. But is there anyone here, I'm assuming there's probably more than one person, who's never heard God speak to them for themselves? Anybody? Willing to admit, I've never heard God speak to me. I didn't know God spoke. Anybody? Okay, close your eyes. Is there anybody here who, for my sake, is willing to admit, hey, I've never heard God speak. I've never heard him speak directly to me. Everyone's eyes are closed. Back row, close your eyes. I can see you from here. All right. Okay, open your eyes. Maureen, John, can you guys come? Now, I know who put up their hands, these people don't, but for those of you that put up their hands, I believe that God wants to bless you tonight with a word for you. Because I believe that that will actually break something within you where it will open up just this like pump of communication between you and God. So I'm not going to point out who put up their hands, obviously, because I don't want to expose anyone. But we are going to ask God, they are asking God already, for a prophetic word. Those of you who put up your hand, I want you to listen carefully. And I want you to know that word is for you. Because the Lord knows you put up your hand, and so the word he gives him, like Maureen doesn't need to know who it was, right? Because she's going to ask God for a word for you. And God knows who you are. God knows who put up their hand. And so she's just going to speak the word. And those of you who put up their hands, listen to the word and know that word is for you. Okay? Who's ready? Who's ready?
John. Yeah, I actually got this word for someone during worship. I'm not sure who it's for, but I really felt God saying to me for someone that in his presence, all of your problems disappear. All of your problems go away. And that someone here has been bringing the same things back to God, almost like a wall. You're throwing all your stuff at him, and you don't know what's happening. You don't know what the response is. You're like, God, I'm giving you this. I need help with this. And you don't feel like he's there and dealing with your problems. And I feel like God's saying to someone, in his presence, all of that goes away. So stop taking your problem and giving it to God and just get in God's presence. Just sit with him and rest with him and allow your problems just to be like washed away. Like watch it disappear completely. Because when you put your problems beside God, they don't even exist. So instead of just being frustrated in, God, this is my problem, how can I get rid of it? Actually be like, God, let me just spend time with you.
Yeah.
And just let me take your stuff away.
Yeah. The wonderful thing about God speaking is that if you hear the word and you're like, that actually witnesses to me too, you can just grab it and be like, thanks, God.
I just heard the word baby, and I really feel like God wants you to know, whoever this is for, that his love for you is so tender and so compassionate, the way that a father's love is for a newborn baby. And actually, I just kind of see like a baby who's about 1 or 2 years old, and I feel like, you know, sometimes as adults we get so hard on us or on ourselves, and we're like, I have to get like everything right. And if you're gonna start, if you like, I know I do this, and I know I'm not the only one. Like, if you're starting out in something new, it's like, why am I not getting it? Why am I not getting it? And I just really feel like God is saying, you know, I'm holding your hand in this, and I'm helping you. You know, when a baby's learning how to walk for the first time, and like the father's so excited. You know, and maybe the baby's legs are, you know, just getting a little bit stronger and sort of, you know, holding daddy's hands while taking footsteps. And I just feel like God's heart for you is that. You know, he's like, I'm so proud and pleased with you, and you're taking these baby steps, and I'm holding you. And you don't have to figure it all out from, like, the very first step. Like, I don't know how many babies go from sitting to crawling to running. You know, it's a progression. And they do it with their parents. And so I feel like God is just really encouraging you, whoever you are, to say, I'm holding your hand, and I am cheering you on with the little steps that you take.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so those of you who put up your hands, those 2 words were for you. Everybody else who felt like it was also for them, take it by faith. I want to read one more thing to you, and then we're going to wrap up. In Isaiah 55, God is speaking through Isaiah, and he says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. This is verse 8, 55 verse 8. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground and water the earth. They cause grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. Say, always produces fruit.
Always produces fruit.
It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song. The trees in the field will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, Cypress Hill. Oh, God. Who knows that group? Anyways, cypress trees, not the rock group, will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will spread up. The events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. There will be an everlasting sign of his power and love. So I just want to repeat a few key points. It is the same with my word. Just as snow and rain come down to earth and they cannot, even if they wanted to, even if the snow and raindrop had a mind of their own and could say, I'm falling down on that earth, but I'm not going to water it. Not going to water it. They could not. It is impossible for them not to water the earth. And God is saying, just as it is impossible for the snow and the rain to come down and not water the earth and not produce seed and not help it to grow, it is impossible for my word not to come into your heart and water the soil and produce the seed and plant and produce the seed, help it to grow and feed you. He's saying, my word, it will accomplish all I want it to. And that's not just my word through when Noelle gets up here and speak or somebody else. That's my word that I also speak to you when it's just you and me. That's that one word that God gave you. If God gave you the word power, guess what? That word has unleashed waves of ramification in the spiritual atmosphere around your life, which means that there is no choice but the power of God to now move through your life because he's spoken the word power into your life. The word of God has and always will have an effect on your life.
Right.
And we need to seek it because he is constantly pouring it out. Amen? All right. I know I gave you guys a lot of homework already, but I'm going to give you one more homework. Shh. How many of you guys, Winnie and I were talking about this earlier, she reminded me of it. How many of you guys have ever prophesied over yourselves? Good. I want all of you to do this. You're like, what the what? I want you guys, it sounds really complicated. Basically, I want you to ask God for a word for you. And I want you to look in the mirror, close the door so your roommates don't think you're weird. I want you to look in the mirror tomorrow morning when you get up, when you're still sleepy and your mind hasn't had a chance to, like, you know, analyze it. I want you to, like, look in the mirror and say, okay, God, what do you want to say to me? And I want you to open your mouth and start saying out loud whatever comes to your mind. Some of it might be silly, especially if you haven't really practiced hearing God's voice a lot. Your first phrase might be like, trees root soil. Just do me a favor and like a rambling maniac, continue to speak out the thoughts that are coming into your head, and I guarantee, by about the 10th sentence, if you're really new to this, you will start speaking the words of God. And it'll probably take you a couple sentences to realize, hey, like, this is really good stuff, and I would never say this about myself because I don't have that much confidence in myself. And then you know it's God. Just try it. Amuse me, amuse yourselves. Just do it. Just do it. All right. We're going to close off. I want you to stand up and turn to the person next to you. All right, listen up. I'm going to do this in 2 seconds. I want you to ask God for a word for that person. If this is really new to you, I'm going to set the standard really low. Ask God for one word. Shh, wait. If this is not new to you, I want you to ask God for a prophetic word for them, a word or a picture. If you have no clue what I'm talking about and you still don't know, just pray for them. Person with the longer hair, you're going to go first. You're going to open your eyes while you're giving the word, and you're going to actually look at them. Okay, if you haven't switched, I want you to switch. Now the other person go. Ask God for a word. All right, everybody sit back down. Everybody sit back down where you were. Sit back down. 5, 4, 3. Or you can just walk to the back. It's up to you. All right, safety net. Just so that nobody goes off and tells somebody that their grandma's about to die, because the Lord said so. The Word of God, listen, the Bible says that when the Word of God comes out, it is to edify, encourage, and comfort. If you get a word for somebody, you are going to run it through those checks. Is this word edifying? AKA, does it build the person up or does it tear them down? Does it cover them or does it expose them? Is it comforting? What was my last one? Encouraging, thank you. Encouraging, does it encourage? If it does not do any of those three things, you are not going to say it. Okay? And you're going to trust the Lord to give you a different word. That's all I'm going to give you now. Those of you who want to grow in the prophetic, I really encourage you, A, to take School of Champions, B, to start getting on our website daily, because we have tons of events going on at the airport campus. We do it there because we have that building full time, not because it's just for the airport campus people. We have tons of events there that will help you grow in your prophetic gift. Okay? Bless you guys. See you next week.